Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. I'm going to talk to you about how to take those things, the voice of the Lord, the way God's speaking to you, how to bring some of those things into manifestation. You know, because when God's speaking to you, he's not telling you stuff that he doesn't want to do. He's telling you things that he wants you to partner with, and he wants you to bring into manifestation in your life. God wants to show off through you. He wants to demonstrate his goodness through you. So it's important we understand, how do I bring these desires and plans he's put in my heart? How do I bring these things into manifestation? Have you ever asked that question? Three people, that's good. You should all be asking that question. Don't just be floating through life. I mean, we just sang that song, you know, all things are possible. There's nothing too hard for God. So we got to aim a little higher. Turn to your neighbor and say, aim a little higher. Okay, good, good, good. Ephesians chapter 5, we kind of had that as a hinge for this series. It says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every moment because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Now, you can understand God's will. You can not only understand God's will, you can be walking day by day in a current living manifestation of his purpose for your life. You can be living every moment in a realm where you understand his heart, understand his voice, and you're operating and walking by the Spirit of God. So we talked about some of that. We talked about some of the weird and freaky ways people try to understand his will, and we're trying to help you to understand it. We talked about, first of all, if you're going to understand the will of God, you need to be baptized. And there's that first baptism of being baptized into the body of Christ. It's where the Spirit baptizes you into Jesus. That baptism is where you could say, I'm born again. You're born again. You're saved. You're brought into the family of God. There's that baptism. So before you can have him as your father, you need to be born again, because he speaks to your spirit. The Spirit testifies with your spirit that you're a child of God. So to know his will, to be walking in his will, to be exercising the mind and heart of Christ every moment of the day, you must be born again. Then the second thing is, you got to be baptized in water. And there's people today getting baptized in water. It says, repent, every one of you, receive Jesus. And it says, then go through the waters of baptism. And you know, the people on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a very simple sermon. 3,000 people got saved. And the church immediately went from 120 to 3,120 with one sermon. How awesome was that? And that day, you know what they did that day? That day, they had to run down to the river and baptize 3,000 people. How cool was that? I mean, man, that was a party. You know, it was going on every day. It says daily the Lord was adding to the church, and daily people were being born again and baptized. Some people are like, well, I want to have 25 lessons on baptism. And that's good. You need to understand what you're doing, but you can get my CD right here on water baptism. I even listened to it again myself this week. I just wanted to make sure that I agreed with everything I was saying. But I got more right here. If you need one, we can get them to you. I'm going to give them to Pat. Pat's listened to it. She's handed out tons of these CDs, because if you want to get fully initiated, some people don't even know what water baptism's about. You'll listen to that CD, you will. But if you want one, Pat's going to give you one right now. If you do, you put your hand up and he'll get it to you. And that is so awesome. Look at that. Hands rising everywhere. Oh, I forgot to say, they're $100 each. How many enjoyed Pastor Cheryl's sermon last week? Man, if you didn't, you need help. But anyways, we got that on DVD too. I tell you, that's one that you can give to your friends and say, hey, listen to this. And I tell you, you listen to that one. Wow. I don't know. I want to get saved all over again. How many would love to be able to get saved twice, three times? Just wow. She talks so much about the goodness of God. I was going, man, I'm in. Whoever that is, I want some. So you get baptized in water. We got folks getting baptized in water today. And then the next thing is, you need to be baptized by Jesus in the Holy Spirit. See, when you're born again, the Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. But there is a baptism where you are baptized by Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And some people mix them up and they think it's all one experience. But no, there's another experience. There's another manifestation of the Spirit of God that you need, and it's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you need that. It says when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you'll receive power to do the life. Jesus literally told them what they were supposed to do. He said, I want you to go now. I'm going to go back to my Father, and I'm going to send the gift. I'm going to send the Comforter. And I want you then to go fill the world with the knowledge of this new kingdom. And he said, I want you not just to go tell people, but I want you to disciple the nations. That's what he said. He didn't go say, go out and save some souls. Go out and get a few people in the club. He said, no, go and disciple the nations of the world and bring them, every one of them, not only into the body of Christ, but disciple them in the revelation of the kingdom of God. What an amazing thing to be told to do. I mean, wow. How many would go like, yikes, that's a pretty serious commission. And then he said, and by the way, don't try to do this on your own. Go back to Jerusalem, wait there, because I'm going to send you the Comforter, and he is going to empower you. And as I have been with you, he will be in you. As I was with you, he's going to be in you, and through you, he's going to work and do the ministry of the Most High God. Just like I did stuff, you'll be doing stuff, and you'll be just like me, multiplied through the earth, manifesting the kingdom of God. So you got to be baptized into Christ, baptized in water, and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, the first 2 days of this week, I was in Burlington at Crossroads there, the CTS Theater, all those fine things, Hunting Street, all that stuff. But I was there with all the leaders of national organizations, national leaders of Pentecostal and charismatic movements here in Canada and some from the States. And the reason we got together, and I love it. I mean, I love trying to get together with all the other pastors, and that's all good. But I've been together with other pastors, and they want me to take the Holy Ghost and not let him in the room. And would you remember, Pastor Carl, we know you're a fire-breathing, charismatic dude, and would you please keep the Holy Ghost out of this meeting? Keep the tongues out, all that stuff out, and could you kind of dumb your spiritual experience down to where we are? And I'm like, wow. You know, so I do that, and then we sit in these rooms, we tolerate each other. How many know I hate being tolerated? I want to be celebrated. And I don't want to be, well, we don't agree with you, Pastor Carl, but please come into the room, and because, you know, we need to get together. We are churches and stuff, and you know, there's only one church in the city. God's not looking at a whole bunch of different denominations. He's looking at one church. You know, I believe it's a church that's fully initiated, breathing fire, full of the Holy Ghost. So I was excited to get together with people who believe like I do. And it's fun to sit in a room with national leaders who all, and nobody's saying, hey, hey, none of that over there, please. You know, just use your real language. We don't believe in that. It was so good. But you know what? We together now are working together in Canada, but also in almost every nation of the world. We are building teams together, and it's called Empowered 21. And really what it's targeting is, the mission statement is that we want every single person on the planet to have an experience with Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Every person. That means even the Baptists who don't believe, sorry about that, and all the others who don't want to believe in that. We want, because how many know if you had something that they can have, you want them to have it? I mean, why would it be silly for us to have something so fantastic and say, oh, you don't believe in it? Oh, okay, well, I won't push it on you then. Are you kidding? So, pretty powerful. So we're going to be making a big deal about Pentecost Sundays. We're going to be working together and strategically doing some things. And we want this to be done by 2033. That's going to be like the 2,000-year anniversary, you know, of Jesus' ascension and the first Pentecost. So we're going to believe that by 2033, everybody on the planet is going to be a fire-breathing, tongue-talking believer. So if you're sitting in this room and you haven't got that revelation yet, look out. Be very uncomfortable. It's good. I'm telling you, it's good. I got it, and it's good. I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know why it's good? It says it's the oil of joy. The Holy Spirit's given himself a name, title himself. What is it? The oil of joy. Aha. Uh-huh. And Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy above his brethren. And Jesus says, what I got whacked with, I want you to be whacked with. Everybody say whacked. All right. I don't. Is that in the Bible? Whacked. Power of the Lord came upon them. And they were whacked. That's fine. So we want fully initiated believers. Amen. My wife's waving at me, so I got to move along. All right, so we talked about revelation. There's general revelation, specific revelation, Holy Ghost revelation, Bible revelation. If you're going to know the will of God, first of all, here's the will of God. Get big doses of that, because God was so wise. He wrote his word down so that we could read it, and then he wrote it so we could speak it. So the spoken word became a written word so that we could speak that word so that heaven could respond to that word and invade every situation with the power of God. So we got general revelation, specific revelation, the revelation of the word of God. Then we talked about Holy Ghost revelation. We talked about hearing the voice of God. Those times where God is speaking to you and it's not out of reading the text. There's an extra biblical manifestation of God. Somehow you know that was God speaking to you. How many have heard God speak to you? Isn't that amazing? God speaks to you. You can hear the voice of God. Literally in the word, God says, I will make my glorious voice to be heard. So God wants to be heard and he wants to speak. We talked about in John 10 where he said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. So are you a sheep? Then you hear his voice. Hearing his voice, it's innate, it's learned, and it's matured. It's innate, it's learned, and it's matured. So go ahead. One more slide there. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. There it is. There. Hearing God's voice, it's innate, it's learned, and it's matured. Now, the process of maturity, we talked about for the last couple weeks. Now, the maturity process is I'm a child of God, I'm a friend of God, I'm a prophet of God. I'm a child of God, I'm a friend of God, I'm a prophet of God. If you're a child of God, that's awesome, that's wonderful, and you're in and you're enjoying all the gracious privileges of being a child of God. Woo! But God wants to take you beyond being a child. He wants to bring you into a community where you're not just my child, but now you're also a friend. You're a friend in the sense that I want to share with you everything that's on my heart, and I want to commune with you, and I want to share with you all the things that I'm concerned about. See, I can have children, but I don't have children that are friends. I can have children that I have as children, I serve as children, I bless them as children, but there comes a time when my children come into a place where I can actually confide in them. I can begin to talk to them. I can begin to experience them on a whole other level. And then there comes a place with your children that they become fully mature sons in your house, and literally, when they go somewhere and they speak for you, and my daughter has no problem doing this. My daughter walks and she speaks things, she tells people things, she does that, and even around here sometimes, we've had some things happen that I wasn't aware of, and some chaos in the back, and somebody disturbed and making a mess, and things were out of order. And my daughter, just a little tiny thing, she'll walk over, you are out of order. You are leaving right now. Out you go. And I find out later, Carly threw another person out. But see, Carly is in a relationship with me. She's a friend of mine. But Carly also understands the authority that she moves in, and she knows the way I would respond to situations. And she knows that she would not be rebuked later because she knows this is what my father would do. And so you need to come into a place where you have authority with God, where you're in such a relationship with God, you abide with him and he abides with you. You've got his word and his words are abiding in your life. And therefore, when you speak, God says, yeah, what he said. And he backs that up and he wants you to come into that kind of a mature relationship where you begin to use your authority as a mature son in the house. So we talked about that, and we talked about that as being a prophet, where you literally take the word of God and you declare it. And the word says in 1 Corinthians, for all can prophesy. Acts 2:18 and 19, I will pour my spirit out and they shall prophesy, telling forth divine counsels, predicting future events, pertaining especially to God's kingdom, and I will show. They'll prophesy and I will show. And Isaiah 48 talks about speaking the word, and it's created now by the prophetic word. So now we want to step into how to bring in these words, how to bring them into manifestation, how to boldly declare those words. But then after declaring them, literally nurture them and keep them in the realm of faith where they come into manifestation. All right, so here's where we are. And this is it. This is it. It's all about faith. We walk by faith. We don't walk by our senses. We walk by faith. So faith is how we live. We don't live by senses. So you might say the walk of faith is nonsense. So if you're not exercising some nonsense, you're not even in the realm of faith. And I love that. Alana said, there's nothing impossible with God. There's so much that God can do. He is powerful. So look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the King James Version. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you see, faith operates in the unseen realm. Faith is how you tangibly get a hold of the things in the unseen realm. And faith is the vehicle that you join in. Faith is like the car that you jump into with God and you journey to the manifestation of the word that he gave you. So you need to operate in faith. We need to understand the principles of faith. The Amplified Bible says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. I love that. Faith is the title deed. It's the title deed that it's done. It's mine. Faith of the things we hope for. How many are hoping for some stuff? How many got some things you desire? You know, sometimes those desires, they've been planted in your heart by God. He's given you a vision of a preferred future. He's given you a vision of what he desires to see, not only in your life, but in and through you to minister hopes and powerful things to others. And God puts that in your heart, so it's not there to frustrate you. And you're not sitting there going, when's he going to bring this to pass? You've got to engage him now through faith. And you have a responsibility to partner with heaven and bring it into manifestation now. So we got to operate in this faith. Now, faith is the assurance of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we don't see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Well, I don't see that, Pastor. Well, we're not living in the realm of what you see. We're living in the realm of faith. And faith has spiritual eyes. Faith sees things that are not, but it sees things that God desires to bring into manifestation. And faith grabs a hold of those things and brings them into the here and now. Faith brings into reality what is not yet seen. So we got to operate in faith, and that's how God operates. God, there was nothing. There was void. There was chaos. And God said, let there be light. God spoke. Corinthians says that he is a living, speaking spirit. It says we have the same spirit of faith, therefore we speak. Faith speaks. So when you get that desire, when you get that thing that you desire to see manifest, you have to get it on your mouth if you're going to activate it. So faith has to speak. Darby, there's a fellow named Darby. He did a version of the Bible. And here's how he said Hebrews 11:1. He said, now, faith, don't you like that word now? I love that word now. Come on, say now, faith. Not yesterday, faith. Not 20 years ago, faith. Not 100 years ago, faith. Now, faith. The stuff that I need to see now. Now, faith is the substantiating of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The word substantiate means to make real or concrete, to give reality or substance. Faith is the substance of things, and nothing exists without faith. Hebrews 11:6. It's going to be a lot of stuff coming at you really fast because we got to baptize some people today. So you got a lot of word coming at you. I'm going to have some perspiration. If you can add some inspiration, then you can walk out of here blessed. And by the way, the notes are already on the webpage. So you could download them now. You could read them, go over them, and you should do that. And beyond that, they'll also be on the website audio tape. Also, so you'll be able to listen to it in audio after a couple days. And then it'll also be on our video site, and you can watch it again in about 5 or 6 days' time. I mean, my goodness, we're doing everything we can to get the Word of God in your life. You know, I heard the sermon once. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing. Sometimes you need to hear it over again. All right, where was I? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Well, I'll pass on this faith thing. You can't pass on it. If you're going to have a relationship with God, if you're going to hear his voice, he expects you to do something with it. He doesn't just speak to you to say, you're awesome, you're cute, you're cuddly, I love you. Sometimes he says, you are right where you should be. There's a situation that's involved. I want you to expose some darkness or some wickedness. I want you to pray against something. There's some things going on. There's an attack. There's a greedy company that is at work trying to hinder, you know, the blessing of God in this region. And they want to close a plant. They want to close something down. I want you to pray against that. That is not my will. I want you to invade that right now. I want you to come against the spirit of greed and command it to be gone, that people might prosper in this region. You know, God might speak that to you, and suddenly, what is it? Well, that was cool, God. No, that now pray. Now engage the heavenly realm. Now engage that, and we don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, spiritual things in high places, and we need to come against those things. You know what? If we're going to bless the city, we got to be hearing from God, and we got to be living and operating in powerful, active faith. Can I get an amen? All right, here we go. Now, he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Luke 1:37. Now, this is, you remember the Christmas story? Not a story, it was history. Now, listen, here's Mary, a little teenage girl. An angel shows up, Gabriel shows up, and he's like, hey, Mary, you are just honored above all women. God has chosen you to be the vehicle through which he brings his eternal son into the world. The eternal word of God will be born through you. Da, 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 da. And Mary's like, what? But Mary didn't say, no way, dude, back off. No, not a chance. Mary didn't even say, I doubt it, don't think so. Mary just literally said, how are you going to do that? Very different from I doubt it or I don't want anything to do with it. She literally said, how's that going to happen? Like, I am kind of betrothed to be married, but I've never been with a guy, so work that one out for me. He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you shall have the seed of the Most High implanted in you, and you shall bring forth the very Son of God. And she's like, whoa. Here's what she said. Here's what the angel said. When she asked that question, the angel said, for with God, nothing will be impossible. And that word, literally, that word nothing is no rhema. That word means it is no rhema. Look it up in the Greek. It is no rhema. There is no rhema from God that is without power to bring forth what he desires. What is a rhema, Pastor? A rhema is when God speaks to you. A rhema is when you hear the voice of God. Whenever you hear the voice of God, that voice that you heard is also not just carrying the ability for you to understand it, it's also carrying the power to perform it. If you heard the word is also carrying 5 tractor trailer loads of heavenly substance. It also has the power to bring it into manifestation in your life. So how do I unpack those tractor trailers? How do I unpack all the heavenly stuff? How do I unpack the impossible stuff and bring it into manifestation? It said, no word is without power. Here's how you do it. Here's what Mary did. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. No word with God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Then in verse 38, Mary said, then Mary said, everybody say, Mary said. Mary said. Mary said. Say it louder. Mary said, Mary said, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. And the angel departed and whoosh, bada boom. Hello. What happened here? That was faith. Mary exercised faith. Mary heard the word. She got that explanation. She said, I'm in. Let it be unto me according to your word. She embraced that. And how did she embrace it? With that big word, Mary said. Mary said. Mary agreed with God. Mary said the same thing that God was saying very, very quickly. Here you go. And you should know this. We're going to talk about 4 very, very quickly basic laws of faith. Number one, 4 basics of faith. Number one, faith is a law. Say law. If you go 100 miles an hour down Adelaide Street, you'll get pulled over for speeding because there's a law against that. It's a law, and it will be enforced, and it works. I didn't drive 100, not quite that fast, but I have seen the evidence that that law can be enforced. But you see, faith is also a law. It's a spiritual law. It's a divine law. It's a law of life, and it's a law of every single thing that exists. Every single thing that you see is a result of faith. Everything. Faith is a law. Bible says in Romans 3:27, but by the law of faith. Faith is a law. What also is faith? Number two, faith is a gift. Say it's a gift. Here you go. Oh, man, I wish I could get more faith. There's no such thing as more or less faith. No such thing. Even Jesus, when he said, forgive them. Well, what if they tick me off 7 times today? Forgive them every time. Well, what if they tick me off 70 times 77? Then you need to forgive them 70 times 7. And then they said, oh, Lord, increase our faith. And he said, there is no more or less faith. You've got faith. The God kind of faith. You've got it. Use it. There is faith. There's a law of faith and there's a gift of faith. Mark 11:22, have the faith in God, or more better translated, have the faith of God. You can have the God kind of faith. What kind of faith is that? It's the faith that Abraham had. Abraham, the father of faith, who lifted eye to eye with God, began to act like God. He was a man, a screwed up man. Even though he was goofed up, he entered into a realm of faith where eye to eye with God, he began to speak the God kind of things, and they came into manifestation. He spoke those things that are not as though they were. And God made it so. The gift of faith, you can have the faith of God. That's God's promise to you. Romans 12:3, God hath dealt to every man the measure. You see, if I had a whole whack of bottles of water here today and said, it's all faith, everybody gets one. It's exactly the same. It has 500 milliliters. Everybody gets the measure of faith. See, some translations say a measure. Brutal translation, because then it's like, well, you don't have the faith I got, or you're not healed because you don't have enough faith. You didn't quite get enough faith. And then we're always trying to get more faith, and it's just stupid. You know how your faith increases? By using it. It's like a muscle. It grows. You get used to using faith. And you go, man, faith works. I'm going to do it again. You know, faith doesn't work. Unbelief, fear, and doubt. Because where there's unbelief, don't expect to receive anything from God. Where there's doubt, it's not going to happen. But you see, faith is a gift from God. He has dealt to every man. Is every man here today? Every woman here today? Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? You have faith, and you've been given the God kind of faith. We've all been given the measure of faith. Go ahead, number three. Number three, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How many people think that I need to have my faith increasing and I need my faith to grow? I need it to develop. If you're going to develop that measure of faith that you have, faith comes, it grows by hearing the word of God. You don't lack the ability to believe. You lack the knowledge of what to believe. It's not that you can't believe. You can believe. You've all got a believer. It's just that we got to position and direct our believer, and we've got to direct it. Isaiah 5:13 says they went into captivity because they had no knowledge. And that's what happens to people. That's what happens to believers, is they don't have proper knowledge. They haven't sought out God through the word or through prayer or through the voice of God. They've got themselves in the wrong areas, been listening to the wrong voices. And you see, they don't understand who they are and what they have. And that's why Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 and then in chapter 3 again. He said, I want you to have a spirit of revelation. I want you to understand what God has freely given you. And you need to understand that and walk in that. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Number four, faith works by believing and confessing. Mark chapter 11. Go to, open your Bibles, please. Get your PDA out, get something out. I want you to see this. If this is not marked in your Bible, if it doesn't have great big red, if it's not highlighted and you're not excited about it, I mean, it should be. Look what it says. Look what it says. It says Mark 11, 23 and 24. For assuredly, I love it when he says, for assuredly. He says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain is whoever here today. Whoever says to this mountain, what is a mountain? A mountain is something that is standing in the way of God's promises in your life. A mountain is something that is trying to impede your progress in the purpose of God. But he said, whoever speaks to this mountain, whoever speaks to it, come on, say speaks. Whoever speaks to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. I want to introduce you, mountain. I want to introduce you, obstacle, to the vastness of God. I want to chuck you and throw you into the grace of God, the knowledge of the grace of God, the knowledge of the love of God, the knowledge that he always keeps his word. I want to introduce you, obstacle, to the vastness of my wonderful promise-keeping God. Got two people excited right over here. You can introduce that, be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. He will have whatever the doctor says. He will have whatever the fourth grade teacher says. It doesn't matter what anybody said. It doesn't even matter what God said or what the devil said. It matters what you say. Because in every aspect of life, you are now living in what you say. You will have whatever you say. Verse 24, therefore, I say to you, whatever so things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Say it, believe you got it, and you'll get it. What? So I say it, and after saying it, I believe I got it, and then I get it? So wouldn't I say I got it after I get it? Like, wouldn't that be stupid for me to say I got it and I don't have it? Look, I didn't write it. I'm just reading it to you. You got to say I got it, and then you get it. That's how faith works. I didn't make the principle up, but I like it. Father, I hear your word on this. I need this. I say, I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. I got it. I see it in the spirit. I declare it is so. I thank you for it. Amen. Let it be unto me according to your word. Woo! How you doing there? How's that sickness going? Done in Jesus' name. I say, I am healed. Well, that's just nonsense. I'm introducing my mountain to the vastness of God's inability to fail. I'm introducing this nonsense to the fact that God cannot violate his word, and he spoke it, and it is done, and I believe it. What are you standing here for? I'm standing here for what I'm standing here for, and I shall not be moved. Okay, that was good, Pastor. Thanks for that. All right, Romans 10, 8 to 10. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now people, yeah, pastor, that's the salvation thing. We did that. We don't have to do that anymore. Well, you're missing something. That's how you get in, and that's how you continue. Because now the same way you got born again is the same way everything else comes to you in your life. It is the same principle of faith now that you live by. You got in through saving faith, but now you continue in a deeper revelation of the doctrine of faith and a deeper understanding of growing in grace. You've got to go on. Amen. Say thank you for that, Pastor. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. If you therefore receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, walk was a term that they used as everyday life, because walking is something everybody did. So they're saying now, the way you received him as Lord and Savior, that's how you walk out all the rest of your life. Because there were people coming in saying, oh yeah, you got saved like that, but now you got to get circumcised, you got to get all that. And Paul's going, no. The same way you got in is the same way you continue. It all started by faith. It continues by faith. It's a work of faith from the beginning to the end. And it's got to be a faith walk every step of the way. Amen, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate your time and attention. Okay? You have what you say. Look at that. You have what you say. It's nothing until you call it something. Let me say that again. You have what you say. And no matter what it is, it doesn't even have substance in relationship to you until you name it, until you define it. It, whatever it is. What is it, Pastor? If you got conflict, you got some kind of manifestation that is outside of the Word of God for your life, whatever it is, it will never become anything in your life until you name it. It's nothing until you decide. So a doctor can say something, mom can say something, Fred, Bob, Sue can say something, the government can say something, the economy can say something, your neighbor can say something. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It means nothing to you until you say, what is it? Now, wow, I want to live like this every day, but there's way too many times that I agree with stupid things. I join in things that I shouldn't have named it that. I should have said no. I say it's death. And there's times that I've allowed myself to come in agreement with things that I shouldn't have, and I should have named it, well, God, what do you say it is? You know, I've heard this, and I've heard this, and I've heard this, but God, what do you say? And then I want to hear from heaven, and I want to agree with him. Now, what's the point of hearing the voice of God and all other stuff if we aren't partnering with heaven to bring it into manifestation? Okay, I'm going to go quickly now. Go quickly now, Pastor. Okay, can you give me 5 minutes? Maybe 10. All right. I want quickly, very quickly, the journey of faith. Very fast. You ready? Here's the journey of faith. So those are the basics of faith. Here's the journey of your faith. Here's a journey. Everybody on a journey? Ready? Here it is. Number one, the journey of faith is seeing faith. Joshua said, I see it. Lord said, Joshua, come on. I want you to see this. See, I've given you Jericho. He looked out and he went, yeah, no, I can see Jericho still standing there. He goes, no, see, I've given it to you. No, it's still standing there. Can you see that I've given it to you? Oh, wow, I see. You've given it to me. He got a picture in his heart of what God wanted to do. So he saw that God had given him Jericho. So faith gives you sight in the unseen realm. So first thing is you got to have seeing faith. You got to see what's really going on. See, not by your circumstance, but see in the spirit. See in the heavenly realm. You ready? All right. Faith gives you sight. Number two is you got to have seeing faith. Number two, you got to have saying faith. Joshua, son of God, went to the priest and he said to them, he began to speak what God had spoken to them. And it comes into manifestation by saying it. Mark 5:28, for she said, she heard about Jesus. She got a picture of healing in her heart. And then she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Amen. Amen. So you got to say it. You got to see it. You got to say, isn't it lovely? We're pouring hot water in there for all those folks who are going in. It's so awesome. So say seeing faith. Saying faith. Number three, staying faith. That's good, Pastor. Staying faith. Why staying faith, Pastor? Because do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, patience isn't, okay, I said it, now I'm just going to sit here. Patience means you're going to hang on to that. You're going to endure through that. You're going to go through every obstacle that presents itself. You're going to fight for this thing to come into manifestation in your life. There's got to be staying faith, which means your obedience to what you heard, your obedience to what you confessed, and then your endurance to see it come into manifestation. And the last one, can you say amen? The last one is staying or seizing faith. Seizing faith. One of my favorite guys right here, Shammah, he stood in his field. They had fields they planted. They were theirs. It was a covenant of God to give them this land. But every year they planted, and the Philistines came and stole all their crops. Now God gave me this, and I'm not going to let my enemies take it from me anymore. So Shammah decided, today I'm going to eat the peas. Today I'm going to enjoy what I've planted. Today I'm going to enjoy what God gave me. I'm not letting it stolen from me again. So Shammah stood in his field. He defended it. He killed a whole whack of Philistines. And then it says Shammah won a great victory that day. No, it doesn't. Look what it says. It says the Lord won a great victory that day. Didn't even give Shammah, you know, a little by note in the bottom, you know, it had nothing to do with you, dude. And it doesn't, but you know what, when you show up and you decide, I'm going to step into the realm of faith, God shows up with you. When you engage him, he engages you, and you now begin to operate out of the power of heaven. Hello. So I tell you, when you take the first step, God will engage you. When you release your faith, God's going to show up powerfully. Very quickly, a little illustration, then we're going to baptize people. Are you ready to baptize people? Hey, you know, if you are getting baptized, while I do this little illustration, can you do me a favor? Can you go get ready to get baptized? Can you go into the bathroom or wherever and put on the clothing that you don't mind get soaking wet in? So if you're getting baptized, I release you to go and do that right now. Are you ready? That's awesome. And we're going to have you folks come back in, and we're going to baptize some folks. Who's excited about that? All right, these two fellas right over here, can you come up here, please? Okay, just, Johnny, if you can grab this in. Now, I'm using caution tape, and that doesn't mean anything. It's not, you're not saying your faith should be cautious. You keep on going down here. You hold that there. Just pull that kind of tight right there. All right, that's good. All right, now the journey of faith. You ready for the journey of faith? All right. In 1993, the Lord spoke to us as a fellowship and told us that we wanted us to have a mercy ministry. He wanted us to minister to people in the core. He wanted us to minister to people who were hurting and in pain and needed help. So we began to look throughout the, we began to look. We heard the word, we began to look. So we're walking on our journey of faith. We began to go. We actually began to go downtown. We got real estate agents. We started checking out properties. Remember that, Bill? We went down. God's, as we began to search, God spoke more to us and became more clearly in our search. We began to walk in this journey of faith. We engaged what God had spoken to us. Then I went by this building as I drove past here all the time to go up to the church where we were at, up on Grosvenor. And I went by and I saw that this was for sale. And I thought, I should go look at that. You know, it's near the core. That would be a great place to have a church. We could probably do a lot of community ministry and a lot of other things. And I should go look into that. And then I drove by the next day and it was sold. And I went, wow, I must have missed God. We should look for something else. But I felt my spirit, you know what? I missed something there. And something should have happened there. You know, I found out later that we had real estate agents who are now in the church here who, when that sold, actually prayed a spirit of greed off the building. It was Glenn and Ingrid. And they spoke. And she said, I don't even know why. Didn't even know what was going on. Had no idea. Was not even a part of this fellowship then. But she prayed, I break a spirit of greed off the place. The guy who had bought it got sent to jail for embezzling money, and the deal fell through. So I saw the sign come back for sale. I called and I asked if I could come see it. I walked through it. Now I have a video and I tried to get it working today, but my video camera, it's an old one and it was grinding and I couldn't see anything. But I have this video of me walking through the building with Cheryl and my two little kids. And as I'm walking through with the videotape, I'm saying, can you see it? Can you see it? I see this going on. I see this going on. And I was saying to our congregation, can you see it? And then I showed the congregation a video of it the week later. And I said, I believe that the Lord wants to give us this building. But the building was a lot of money. And so they had already sold it for $1.1 million. So we decided that we would put an offer in on the building. And so we put an offer in on the building of $800, I think it was $800, was $825 or $800, and they paid the GST. And so I went and saw the guy, and they'd already sold it like a month or so earlier for $1.1, and I'm coming in with an offer $800,000. I don't do your math, but anyway. So I went, and we went up, and the guy said, I'm not even going to entertain this. And I went, would you please? I said, we're going to drive to Toronto. It was owned by a board up in Woodbridge, some Italian guys. So anyways, we went up there to meet with them in this place. We went and sat on the board, little old me. And these guys walk in who own the properties. And I said, please, I want to say, first of all, that I'm not being rude. I know you've already sold it for 1.1. And I'm not trying to be rude to you or blow you away or undercut you or anything. I'm just making you an offer that I know works. It's all I have. But I know it'll work. But what I need you to do is I need you to take back the mortgage. I need you to pay the DST. I need you to get no payments for the first 3 months, only interest for the next 9 months. And then a 5-year mortgage after that that's at this percent. And then I want it renewable for 25 years. And he looks at me and says, anything else? I went, is there anything else you can give me? And I said, I want to say, I am not trying to be rude. I am very, very sincere. And I believe we can do a great deal of help in that community if you'll let us have that building. You know, and he said, well, we'll think about it. We'll talk about it. They had a board meeting, called us back up. We went to Toronto, and they said, I have no idea why I'm doing this. Then he signed it, and boom, it's done. Now, the city of London was totally with it. It was Mayor Tom Goslin at the time. First one I spoke to, he was for it. The mayor who came in after, for it. Everybody was for it. But we had 10 businesses all around us that opposed us. Cheryl, come stand here. My story's getting long, she said. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to make this. This is a mountain. Now, I'm on my journey of faith, but I got stuff getting in the way. And then I'm like, I can't believe this. So then I talked to our national leadership team, and I told them all about my dream, and they opposed us. Two mountains. I couldn't believe it. The businesses didn't want me to do anything in the community. Our own leadership didn't want me to do anything in the community. And I'm like, what's going on? Well, we finally got the businesses to back off with, had to go to the OMB and had to have a deal there. And then finally, our own leadership, I just realized I gave them too much information. And anyway, we got it all worked out and got them out of the way. That was awesome. But then, Cheryl, come back. Then it's time to close the building. It's time to go down. And at that time, we had close to 200 people in the fellowship. But when it was time to move down, half the fellowship suddenly decided that they weren't with the vision. And I'm like, what? I mean, couldn't you have told us before now? I mean, and half the people didn't even come down the road with us. So I now was stepping into a monthly budget that was going to be $6,000 more than we were bringing in. You know what I started hearing? Get a job. Suddenly, I had all these obstacles in my way. I'm like, you know, I wanted to quit ministry right then. I was done. I was like, I want out. Oh, God, please find me a way to get out of here. I didn't want it. I started getting job offers, amazing job offers in the industry I was in. I was like, thank you, Jesus. This is wonderful. But you know what? I had to step into faith. I had to say, get out of the way. God told me I'm going to have this property. We're going to do things in it. And, you know, all through the way, all down the line, even we started in that half of the building, leased out this part. And it was a struggle of faith all the way through to get to where we are today. And where we are today is we're pretty much using every single part of this building and doing ministry in and through it almost every day of the week. And there's more ministry we could do with this building. Thank you, guys. That's just one little journey of faith we had. And a lot of obstacles on the way. I could have told you so much more, but we don't have time. But you know what? You might be going through things like that where God's given you a picture of a preferred future. You know, you got to get on that path of faith, and you got to stay in faith. You got to stay in that vehicle of faith, and you got to see that done. But mountains will come. Obstacles will come. But what do you say? Every time that happened, people said, I don't think God wants us to do this, Pastor. I don't want, you know, everybody said things. But I said, what do I say? And God said, whatever you say, Carl, is what matters. Because you will have what you say. And that's how faith works in every situation in your life. So listen, you're going to hear from God. You're going to hear the voice of God. But he may tell you to do some real crazy things. And I believe, if I had more time, I'd tell you right now, I believe we are right now in a time in this fellowship where it's time for us to go bigger. It's time for us to stretch. And you might look around and go like, well, I'm telling you, I see something in the spirit that is so big that we need at least a 1,500, 2,000 seat auditorium, and we got to go big. We got to go big. God wants to influence things. He wants to change things. And you're not going to do it on a small scale. It's going to happen on a big scale. People are going to be unable to ignore what God does. It's going to be big, going to be huge. And I tell you, it's time to shift. It's time to hear the word of the Lord. It's time to believe, because it's time for us to step into a new realm of faith. Can I get an amen? All right. Come on, stand up with me. Just lift your hands for a second. Then we're going to baptize some folks. Are you ready? Father, we bless you. We love you. We just thank you for your word, your rich, wonderful word. I pray, Father, that these words, I pray just the spirit of faith. Lord, if preaching can be foolishness, but I pray, Father, for the spirit of faith. That, Lord, you would invade every single heart. That the seed of your word, that the truth of faith would invade hearts today. That not only can they hear you, not only will they hear words of comfort and words of love, but they'll hear words that'll pull them out of the boat. They'll hear words that will make them stretch. They'll hear words that will cause them to go do things that are way beyond their ability. They'll start hearing things that they think in the sense realm might be nonsense, but it's truly from you. And it's by faith. It's by faith we're going to see these kind of breakthroughs in hearts and lives. So, Father, in Jesus' name, let this word sink deep in every heart right now for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.